What is this specifically, and who will use it?
This particular tool is a part of a seamless and integrated suite of what we call web-based product support tools. And it links directly to the training that we provide at DAU, both classroom and distance learning training, that we've developed for the defense acquisition workforce. And it's based on an interactive product support strategy process model collaboratively developed by the Office of Secretary of Defense Material Readiness staff and ourselves here at the faculty at DAU.
Who will be using this, and what will they get out of it that they didn't get out of what it replaced? And we'll talk about that in just a minute, too.
You bet. Three primary target audience groups, I guess, to say. And that's first and foremost the DOD product support managers, which is actually a recent creation established in law, actually, here in 2009. As well as DOD program managers and also the lifecycle logisticians that support those two organizations.
And this replaced some other documents that were being used, some other tools that were being used for similar purposes. Talk about those.
That's correct. It was replacing a 2005-era, what we called a performance-based logistics toolkit, and it actually enhanced the processes and procedures that were identified in that toolkit with probably a more rigorous, I would say, focus on business case analysis, basically how we best determine and validate what a good product support strategy looks like.
Now, the notes that I have say that this toolkit provides product support managers with materials for integrating the right mix of support sources using best value determinations while maintaining compliance with statutes, policy, available funding, and the BCA. The best value thing is something that vendors are interested in because there are vendors that want to try to get in on procurements that are best value and really understand what the military's looking for as far as value, judging that value. Is there a way for industry to take a look at this and understand how it will work so they can get a sense of how to better serve their military customers?
Well, keeping in mind that best value is very often considered in some circles as equaling lowest cost,
mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the case here. Really what we're talking about when we talk best value from a weapon system perspective or also even from a subsystem or component level within the DOD, we're trying to achieve optimal system readiness, basically measuring availability or meeting warfighter availability requirements, but still reducing or at least minimizing lifecycle costs or total ownership costs. Because very often the acquisition that we're talking about is again, at a weapon system level, could be in the inventory for many decades and could be 40, 50 years in some cases.
Mm-hmm. The total lifecycle costs, too, are something that I imagine is getting more important as you look at the possibility of extending the lifecycle of some of these weapon systems. You know, we hear from time to time that a particular piece of equipment is being run X number of years longer than it was expected to be. Does this tool allow people that are using it to consider those possibilities, too, when you're looking at life cycle? Maybe it's not going to be what we would like it to be necessarily, and so trying to figure out extensions and so forth?
Absolutely, because, again, it's an iterative process. It's never finished, in essence. It's a list of 12 steps, essentially. But once you finish them, you continue basically going around the process model, continuing to look at and continue to revalidate the model, because obviously the environment in which the system is being operated is going to evolve, it's going to change. Very often it will not be what it was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, perhaps.
So this really is a cycle process, and it's not linear at all.
That's absolutely correct. And, in fact, if you look at the model on our website, it doesn't specifically say that you go step by step by step. Some of the steps could actually be employed in parallel or in sequence. Some steps may not actually apply to a specific weapon system. So it's tailorable to the individual program. And keeping in mind, too, this is a best practice or a tool. It's not DOD policy per se, but it's intended to assist the program managers and the product support managers.
When should I be getting in on this in the development process? When should I be using this to move through this cycle?
Another great question, of course, as we like to teach here at the university, early is best because most lifecycle costs are determined, or the vast majority of lifecycle costs are determined early in the system design and development. And once those systems, or particularly hardware items, are locked in the design, it becomes increasingly challenging to continue to evolve and expand those. So early is always better.
I appreciate the information about this. As I'm considering this, what is there something else that I should know about it, when I'm getting ready to dig into it and actually apply it to my job?
The key, I guess, to say here is, you know, we're going to have to continually support and sustain our weapons systems as we watch the environment we're operating them in, and certainly from a fiscal perspective, becoming increasingly austere. So we're really going to have to focus on trying to ensure that the acquisition workforce, particularly the DOD acquisition workforce, has the training and the tools both to be able to do their job.
So it's not too early for me to try to work with this, even if I'm not in the program manager stage, or if I'm not even on my own yet necessarily as an acquisition professional.
No, absolutely not. In fact, many product support providers within the DOD, as well as potentially even in other federal agencies, who might want to take a look at this, maybe borrow ideas or look at opportunities, potentially tailor some of the practices and principles contained here.